This morning's scripture reading will be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 19. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 19. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be?
I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to preach this morning and to be here with you. But I think we have quite a bit of a challenge before us. I've joked with Royce that we've gotten to speak on 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a month now. And Mike and Tobias and Royce and BJ spent a week on 1 Corinthians 12 and get to pick apart those bones and pick out the meat. And they said, here, you can have what's left and just take over and see what you get. So you get a pile of bones and go and make a gourmet meal. But I'm thankful as we go to the pages of God's Word and we never exhaust the depth of everything that God has recorded for us. We can continue learning and growing, and yes, it is impossible to not step on some toes and some things we've already covered, but hopefully they will serve as a reinforcement and a refresher of some of the things that we have already looked at this month, as we've understood that everyone is important and needed within the body. How we need to be working together to accomplish the task that God has set before us. Hopefully, try to shift gears a little bit as we try to look at the idea of the importance of the body from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You see, we need to understand as we consider that importance of the body that yes, everyone is important. That's where our primary focus has been this month, that each person, each individual is significant. Each person is useful and needed and invaluable to the body. When you consider Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, or God by Paul, is giving instructions concerning the whole. Wives submitting to husbands, husbands loving wives, fathers bringing up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, but children also submitting unto their parents and learning from them. And when you consider that model, you understand the home can only be that which God desires for it to be when all of those components are working together. And you take any one of those components and it's not what it ought to be, then the whole cannot be what it needs to be. And such is true when we consider the body, the church. That here God has placed us together and we're working and laboring together. And if any part of that body is not what it ought to be, then the whole cannot be as great, cannot be as grand as God desires and wishes for it to be. And so all of us as members are important. All are needed and useful and invaluable as a part of that body. That's what we've largely focused on, but we need to understand that comes with this caveat. But it's not about you. Yes, each individual is important, but none is elevated above any other. It's not about promoting an individual or setting them upon a pedestal. It's not so anyone can think himself more wise or more important or more needed than anyone else. Yes, it's about the individual. It's about seeing the value that each of us have, but understanding it's not really all about me. That I shouldn't be seeking my own glory. And I think as we go through this morning, we're going to see that was part of the problem that underlied most of the problems that were here at Corinth. Anytime you promoted a concept or an idea or a person above another, you were going to have problems. And so instead, we need to understand it's all about exalting the body, the church, as a whole. Yes, some needed to hear, you are more important than you think. You're not unneeded. You're not cast to the side. You're not unimportant. You're needed and you're special and you are unique. And you help make the church all that it is. And so some needed to hear, you're more important than you think. But some also needed to hear, you're not as important as you think. You have exalted yourself or allowed yourself to be exalted above others. You have esteemed yourself as being vital or important. And you've lost concept or the picture of exalting the church. And so how do we go about accomplishing this? Well, God's been giving us the answer, and we see it all through the pages of this great book that we have been studying. I'm going to try to highlight three ideas that will help us in that understanding that yes, everyone's important, but it's not about any one individual. It's about the church as a whole. There is one head that directs. There is one that we ought to be looking for our guidance and for our direction. He is the very source of unity. This begins in the very opening pages of the book of 1 Corinthians. As we would go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. And there Paul reminding us and urging and teaching us, I beseech you. Literally the idea here, I'm begging with you. Brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Brethren, remember we're a body that's working together, that's going in the same direction, that's trying to accomplish the same task. And we'll accomplish that when we work together and not against one another. Not when we go different directions. And the one and only way to accomplish that is to go back and say, I'm going to look to the head. I'm going to look to Christ. I'm going to follow Him. Not my own will, not someone else's will. I'm going to follow my head. You see, when they followed men, it was only going to serve to divide them. We see that in verse 11 and 12. It's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Here's the strife that's developed. This I say, every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Where did that division come from? Because you exalted one above another instead of just simply following Christ. In fact, he's going to charge them in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3 and 4. He says, you are yet carnal. You're worldly, fleshly. Dealing with the things of this world. Why? Because there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal? Do you not walk as men? And what's the indicator of that? Verse 4. Because some of you say, I'm of Paulus or I'm of Paul. Are you not carnal? You're not thinking according to the ways of the world, the ways of the flesh. That's how the world thinks. That's how business thinks. That's how the ways of our lives here on this earth operate, but not the church. We need to have the attitude that Paul would express of himself in this book in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Be followers together of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul didn't set himself forth as the ultimate example. Yes, I want to set a good example that I hope you can follow, but follow me only in as much as I'm following Christ. There's your ultimate example. You make sure I'm following Him, and in so doing, you can follow the example of my life to also then follow after Christ. It was the attitude expressed by John the Immerser in John 3 and verse 30. He said, I must decrease, but He must increase. John was willing to come and do His work and then step back so that Christ could be honored and glorified. And that's the message of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to stand behind the cross of Christ that He may be exalted, that He may be magnified. And when I follow Him, and when I labor for Him, oh, I'm going to point people to Him. And then we can be united together. We see it again in the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 20, Paul says that his earnest expectation, his desire, his hope is that in nothing he should be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I may live and I may die. But here's the one thing that I desire. Whether I live or whether I die, I want Christ to be magnified in everything that I do. I want to point people to Him. He is that source of unity and direction, but as well, He is the source of wisdom. He's urging people, know Him. Follow Him. Follow the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of men. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll notice in verse 25, he exalts the wisdom of God above the wisdom of men. And he says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. There is no comparison in the wisdom of God to the wisdom of men. It is so high. Above what we think, so that he can speak as of the ways of men. If you could assign a foolish thought to God, that foolish thought is still wiser than the wisest thought of men. That's the estimation we ought to have. That's why we ought to be looking to him. And so he says, as he enters into chapter 2, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 1 through 5, he gives this exhortation. And brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know Him. I want you to know His will and not my own. I don't want you to be impressed and marvel at the Apostle Paul. I want you to marvel at the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be impressed with my talents and my abilities so that you would ever desire to follow after me. Oh, why did you make this determination, Paul? Because if you drop down into verse 5, he says that your faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want you to trust in Him. I want you to know Him. I want you to follow Him. Guess what? There's coming a day when I will go away and no longer be in this life. I'll no longer be the one teaching. I'll no longer be the one instructing you. Sadly, he understands even the realization that, yes, even I, the Apostle Paul, could fall away. Don't follow me if I fall away. You keep on following Christ. He is the source of wisdom that you need to know. But there was something else that they sadly missed as well. He's the source of all of your blessings. Everything that you have, everything that you've been given. Did it not come from Him? Some of the things that you exalt in, some of the things that you are glorying in. Why? It's not of you. It's not your talent. It's not your ability. It's not something you trained yourself to do. It's something that you were given. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Or what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if you received it, why do you glory as if you did not receive it? You were given this gift. You were given this ability. Everything that you have is of God. Why are you going to allow that to separate you from others? Why are you going to exalt, look up on someone or down on someone because all of these things that you have and are allowing yourself to be differentiated by are all things that have been given unto you. Look to Christ and not to man. That's how we're going to focus on the body and not ourselves. But number two, he's also going to tell us, seek the glory of the body, not the individual. There's an idea, and I think I've made the comment here before. The more and more I study, the more and more I'm impressed that I believe oftentimes you can boil Christianity down to a single word of selflessness. Take yourself and have humility that would say, I'm going to follow after God. They would say, I'm not going to walk in my own paths or after my own desires, but I'm going to follow after the will of God. I'm going to be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. I'm going to be willing to put myself last if it's going to help somebody else. I'm going to help lift up the body, even if that means that I'm pushed down some. And I see that time and again throughout all of this book. Paul is asking them to put themselves aside for the good of the body as a whole. Now here's where I'm going to ask you to buckle up for a few moments, because we're going to try to swiftly move through every 16 chapters of the book of 1 Corinthians, and I want you to see this point. Sometimes it's only one of maybe two or three that you could find within the chapter. But I believe that concept is found within every chapter of this book. He is reminding us, chapter 1, it is not about our followers, our name, our popularity, but about Christ. We saw that there in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. Are you following Paul or Cephas or Apollos? Are you following Christ? And so he says in verse 13, is Christ divided? Who are you following? Don't follow men, and don't be drawing men after yourselves, but draw men unto Christ. Number 2, chapter 2, it's not about our wisdom or the wisdom of the world, but about the wisdom of God. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25 that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. He's going to tell us in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God. It's not the wisdom of Paul. It's not the wisdom of men. It's the wisdom of God that we want you to know. Chapter 3, he says it's not about our work. It's not about our glory, but about the work of God. Who is Paul? 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Who is Apollos? We are ministers. We're servants by whom you have believed. Verse 7 of chapter 3, neither he that plants is anything, nor he that waters, but God giveth the increase. It's not about the labor or that work or him receiving glory. It's about the work of God. We are laborers together with God, chapter 3 and verse 9. And so, chapter 4 and verse 1, account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We are but servants who have been entrusted with someone else's goods, knowledge of the gospel, and are to use them wisely. Chapter 4, it's not about our estimation of ourselves, but God's estimation of us. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, I know nothing by myself, yet am I here not by justified. He that judges me is the Lord. I don't care what you think of me, but ultimately it doesn't matter what I think of myself. What is God's estimation of me? Am I walking faithfully with Him? Chapter 5, it's not about our desires or our pleasures, but the good of the body, the church as a whole. You have one exalting in the pleasures of the flesh. You have a church that's glorying in the fact that they're so open and accepting and allowing this thing to continue. And he says you should have been protecting the body. You should have been doing that which was good, not seeking after the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life, but seeking to protect and help one another. And so in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, he tells them, your glorying is not good. You need to deal with the problem that is among you. Chapter 6, he said, it's not about our rights. It's not about our vindication, but about the good of the church. It's not about what you think you are owed. It's not about making sure that you are vindicated. But don't you know, he took something from me that's mine. Don't you know that I ought to get this because I have a right to it? So what? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7, there is utterly a fault among you. Why? Because you go to law one with another. Why not rather take the wrong? Is it about you? Are you going to exalt yourself over the body? Are you going to bring a bad name and destruction upon the church because you want your right? Suffer yourselves to be defrauded. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7, even for the good of the church. Chapter 7, it's not about our goals, it's not about our ambitions, but what's best for God's people. There are questions here concerning marriage. There's questions concerning servitude and the roles that we have in this life. Bring glory to God in all that you do. As you consider your choices, as you consider your decisions, are you considering what's going to honor and glorify God? In 1 Corinthians 7, in verse 24, he ends that verse with the instruction, abide with God. You make sure that in all things you're walking with Him. Chapter 8, it's not about our liberty, but it's about building up our brethren. Here he has this discussion concerning the eating of meat, and particularly the eating of meat that had been offered unto idols. What are you going to do with this? Well, some would argue, I have a liberty and I'll do as I want. Others would say, well, I have a reservation. I don't think you ought to be doing that. Am I going to press my will on you either direction? Instead, he tells us in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block. Don't you dare make another one stumble because you're going to express your liberties over another. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 13, he says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. It's not about me. I'm going to help build up my brother. Chapter 9 is not about our abilities, but it's about the good of the church. I might have the right or the ability to do something, but that doesn't mean that I should. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, Paul says, I have used none of these things. I could have. I had every right. But I didn't do it, and I didn't do it for the good of you. Instead, in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19, he says, I have made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And do everything I can within the bounds of what is right in the sight of God to try to reach out to the lost. And so in verse 22, to the weak I became as weak that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And in verse 23, he says, and I do this for the gospel's sake. Yes, I'm going to do that which I can to help build the body. Chapter 10. It's not about our exaltation. It's not about walking our own way, but walking in a way that's going to honor and glorify God. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, he's using the illustration here of the first generation that has come up out of Egypt, of the Israelites that would ultimately fall in the wilderness, and he reminds them. Now, these were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil as they also lusted. Don't follow that which you want that's going to lead you to your destruction. Seek to build up the body. You walk right and be an encouragement even unto others. Also in verse 24, he's going to exhort them, let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Again, are we going to promote ourselves to the ill of someone else? Or are we going to seek to build one another up? Paul said in verse 33, I'm not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's what I want my goal to be. Chapter 11, he said, it's not about ourselves and our own interest, but the roles God gave us and the good of the brethren. Were you willing to submit to the role that God gave you? To do that which is right? 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, I would have you know, head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. As a husband, are you going to fulfill that role that God's given you? As a wife, are you going to fulfill that role God's given you? As a husband and a wife, as a teacher, as a preacher, as an elder, as an evangelist, as a Christian, are we going to go forth and fulfill the role that God has given us to the good of the body? Are you going to seek the good of the body to build one another up, or has it become about you? You're gathering together supposedly to remember the Lord's Supper, and yet this thing that should have been a symbol of your unity in Christ has become a source of division. And some are coming among you and they're getting fat and stuffed, and others are going hungry. Why? Because you care more about yourself than you care about the whole. And such should not be. And so he says in verse 33, tarry one for another. Remember what you're there for. It's not about filling your physical belly. It's about remembering that which unites us, which is Christ. In chapter 12, He says it's not about our abilities and glory, but helping the body. Time and again this month we have remembered there is but one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12 makes up this body that is the church by the individual members. But all of us as members of the body are working together as a single unit. So that, verse 25, there should be no schism in the body. But all the members should have the same care one for another. Chapter 3, it's not about our selfishness, but our love one for another. Charity does not vaunt itself. It is not puffed up. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. It's not all about me. It's not all about seeking again my honor and my glory, but seeking the best, the good of one another. Chapter 14, it's not about our position. It's not about our notoriety, but building up the body, that everything may be done to the edifying of the church. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. Time and again, and we'll notice that here in a moment, that's the focus of Paul in 1 Corinthians 14. Edify, build up the body as a whole. In fact, he says in verse 26, at the conclusion of that verse, let all things be done unto edifying. 1 Corinthians 15, it's not about our thoughts and our ideas, but it's about the truth that builds up and encourages. When he warns them in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. What's the reminder? You've allowed somebody to draw you away from the truth, and they've destroyed your hope that you should have had in Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody have that control over you. You continue in that which is right. You continue in the truth. He tells them in verse 34, some of you have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. You've been led away from the truth, and it has destroyed the body. You get back to seeking the truth. And finally, in chapter 16, it's not about ourselves, but the good of the church and the servants of God. You, watch fast. Stand fast in the faith. Quit or be like men. Be strong. And let all things be done with charity, with love. Build up the body. Encourage those who are laboring and working. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 16. Submit yourselves unto such, to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth. You see how this whole book, from cover to cover, all 16 chapters are dealing with this concept. It's not about the individual. It's about building up the body. Build up the church. And that should be our desire as well. Not to exalt ourselves, but to exalt the body of Christ. And when each has this focus, when each has that determination, we as individuals are going to grow, and thereby the church as a whole will grow. Paul expresses that again in Ephesians 4 and verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, all are important, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying itself in love. When the individuals grow, the church as a whole is going to continue growing. And so I need to have that focus on the body. And we'll close with that third idea that he's going to remind us, you have to be motivated by love and not by ambition. It's not about selfish ambition. It's not about seeking my honor and my glory. But it's about love that's going to put others first. We've focused around 1 Corinthians 12 for the last month. But the trio of chapters right here, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, highlights this idea that it's all about love. It's all about focusing on the building up of that body. We should not be motivated out of a selfish ambition. We should not be motivated out of the idea of notoriety or popularity. But what's going to help the body? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's there to profit the body. You have allowed these spiritual gifts to divide you. And that's a shame. This should have built you up. This should have helped you to grow. And you're allowing it to tear you down. And such should not be. God gave you these gifts. He gave you these abilities so that you could help the church grow. And you focused on yourself. You became focused more on what's more noticeable. What has grown in popularity. I don't know that we have all the details, but perhaps, and it would seem to me, that there were some who were focused on the speaking in tongues or other languages because this gained notoriety from men. This was something that stood out. This was something that was flashy. Those other gifts, oh, someone else can have those. I want that which is going to draw me attention. And such should not be. And so he comes to the rebuke in 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not charity or love, I become as a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal, that which is annoying and grinds upon the nerves. He says in verse 2, though I have the gifts of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, yes, though I have all of these great gifts, though I have all faith, that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. You are worthless if it's not motivated by love. And he says in verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned. You want to go be a martyr? You want to be a greatest philanthropist upon the face of the world and give away all this money to other good causes and works? Great. But what's its motivation? If I don't have charity, it profits me nothing. It's no good. It has to be motivated out of love. He shows in chapter 13 the primacy or the superiority of love. It has to be the motivation, that which drives us. He shows us the characteristics of that love, verse 4 through 7. We'll have to save that for another study. And he shows us the longevity of love in verse 8 through 13. Love is what's going to last. Those gifts, one day they'll go away. Therefore, the infancy of the church to help build it up. The illustration that BJ gives is gave last week is the one that I often use. It's that of the scaffolding. You build the scaffolding up, it helps you build the structure, but one day that scaffolding's coming down. Its purpose has been served. One day those gifts are coming down. Its purpose has been served. Well, what's going to last? You ought to still have this kind of love one for another. An agape love that seeks another's best interest. I'm going to put you and what's going to help you. That's going to be my focus. That's going to help build us up. Chapter 14, emphasis on edification of the body out of this love. That love is going to drive you to do what? It's going to help you build up the body. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you might prophesy. Well, why, Paul? Because that's what's going to build up the church. Those other things are used to show the world that you have the Word of God. But the teaching, that's what's going to build up men. Verse 3 through 5, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, to exhortation, to comfort. There's the benefit. So that in verse 4, you edify the church. So that in verse 5, the church may receive edifying. That's the whole focus there of why we ought to use these things. To build up the church, to edify it. Verse 12 of chapter 14, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. In verse 26, let all things be done to edifying. In verse 31, all may prophesy one by one. The giving of the order here in which they ought to be doing things is for the very purpose of letting all things be done to edifying, that they all may learn and be comforted. And so, in verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Why? To help build up the church. That's the focus we ought to have. It's not about you and about your service or your gifts or your glory or your honor, your popularity. Build up the church. Help your brethren. And he closes, or I'll close there, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. Let it all be done in love. It's the importance of the body. Not focusing on man, but focusing on Christ. Not focusing on the individual, but the glory of the body. Not focusing on selfish ambition, but being motivated out of love. The idea I hope we see is a wonderful balance. You are not above and you are not below anyone else. We're all working together for the good of the body. And so why? Why have we focused on this study all month? Because our goal as elders in this study and in going forward is to keeping that focus on building up the body. We want to help men, fathers, husbands. We want to help women, wives, mothers. We want to help children and young Christians to strengthen and build our homes, which likewise in turn is going to help build the church. We want to help equip the body to the glory of God, that we as the body will shine forth into the world, that together we might strengthen and grow the body, both physically and spiritually. We want to grow in knowledge and understanding, but we want to reach out into a lost and a dying world that they can have the same hope and the same joy that we have, not so that our numbers can swell, but the very fact that here are Christians that are being added into the Lord's church. Here are those who had no hope that now have hope. We want to help each person find a place in the body so that he can be useful in the service of the Lord and so that the body can operate in its maximum capacity as God intended. It only works when they all work together. And so, yes, each one is important, but it's not about the individual. It's about the church. It's about the body being what God designed, intended, and desires for it to be. So the question for us, where are you? Are you in the body? You in the body of Christ this morning? If not, the great invitation's there. That you can have that same joy and that same hope, that we can labor and work together. The good news of the gospel still goes forth into the world as it does in the book of Acts that we've been studying on Sunday mornings in class. The gospel went forth and they heard it. They that believed it, gladly received it, would submit their will unto God and follow after Him. Having heard it and believed it, they repented of their sins. They confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and they were baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. They rose again as new creatures and went on their way rejoicing, knowing that they've been added to the church, the body. It's working and laboring together. That body laboring together went forth and turned the world upside down. Had an impact on their communities, had an impact on their families and on the world that was around them as they spread the good news and the hope of the gospel. Are you in that body? If not, why not? We'd love to study with you, or perhaps you're ready to make that decision this morning. Perhaps you're in the body, but you've sat on the sidelines or wandered away. It's time to come back home. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as we confess our faults. 1 John 1, verse 7 and verse 9. He can restore us to that place of hope and joy once again. Place of service. Instead of being unuseful, I can once again be useful in the body. Hopefully all of us can go away with a greater appreciation for the body that God designed. Laboring and working together, we can be all that God would have us to be. That's our desire, and that's the invitation that's set before us this morning. If we could help you with it in any way, wouldn't you let it be known as together we stand as we sing.